Welcome to Veterinary Vertex, a podcast of the AVMA Journals. I'm Editor-in-Chief, Dr. Lisa Fortier, and I'm joined by Associate Editor, Dr. Sarah Wright.
We're bringing you a special guest, Dr. Latif Amra Yarmaz. Amra, we are so excited to speak with you today. Amra is a professor of veterinary surgery at Berdur Mehmet Akif Ersel University in Berdur, Turkey. In this episode, we're going to talk about Amra's manuscript, Two Different Smartwatches Exhibit High Accuracy in Evaluating Heart Rate and Peripheral Oxygen Saturation in Cats when compared with electrocardiography and transmittance pulse oximetry. Amra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, let's dive right in. So what new information can our readers learn from your manuscript to better serve their patients and their clients?
Actually, as we know, smartwatch popularity is growing very fast, and so many people are using these wearables because they serve a lot of purposes, such as detection of heart rate and peripheral oxygen saturation, as we did in cats. And by using this technology, vets can obtain these parameters without using maybe any other.
That's great. I'm an Apple Watch user myself, and I know we'll get to social later, but a lot of people on social media tried it out on their own cats as well in their personal life and professionally in their hospitals. And there was overwhelming positive feedback about your manuscript and how it does work in the clinical setting and also at their home too. So found that quite interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
And I know that many veterinary professionals, myself included, have all had that moment when you're trying to get pulse ox on a cat, especially if the cat has black fur, and it's so challenging to get an accurate reading. So this really can present a novel way to get an accurate reading for these animals. Are there any misconceptions, though, about measuring these indices with a smartwatch?
Actually, in the current study, we didn't encounter any problem during collecting the heart rate readings, but we had a problem when we obtained SpO2 measurements. Most of the time, I guess the smartwatches didn't get the signal. So we encountered high failure rates when we collect SpO2 values. By the way, prior to the study, we used the wearables in different parts of the cat's body and found that the lateral side of the tibia is the best anatomical place to obtain both parameters. We have also tried these devices without shaving the hair, but didn't get any good signals. In our hospital, I also tried metacarpal and metatarsal pads to measure SpO2 and heart rate, and noticed that these regions are also both good places to obtain the parameters. But I think the main problem in these regions are you don't have a chance to wrap the devices. Someone should keep it on position during the measurements.
Yeah, thank you. I don't do cats and dogs anymore, just horses. but I imagine it could be applied across all species. I think what's interesting to me about this manuscript is what is really inspiring is it had to have come from like identifying a clinical problem, cats and dogs, especially with dark fur, and then curiosity, which is really important in identifying super cool ideas that are like, wow. So what inspired you? How did you come up with this idea? For me, a lot of them come from students saying, well, could we do this? So I'm curious how you came up with the idea and what inspired you to write this manuscript.
Actually, the story I will tell is really interesting. One day my advisor got heart attack. Thankfully, he got soon well, but he bought a smartwatch to trace his health, especially SpO2 and heart rate parameters. This situation affected me so deeply that I guess. And one night I was trying to fall asleep and suddenly got an idea. What happens if I try to obtain heart rate and SpO2 parameters by using the human smartwatch? The next day, I discussed with my colleagues, and they loved the idea. And then we tried them on dogs and also cats. Wow, unbelievable. They worked as monitors. And then we organized three different studies to perform in boats and cats. The paper that about the monitor, the heart rate in dogs, published in another journal. The paper in cats already published in the JAMA. It's very honored for me. The paper about measuring SpO2 in dogs also finished, but has not submitted to and a journal. We are trying to improve the paper, the manuscript, before sending to NIH.
Well, that's really fascinating. I'm glad your mentor is okay. And thank you to you and your team for having the curiosity and saying, hey, let's give this a go, because it's obviously going to not only help for monitoring, as you pointed out, but think of how it will help with follow-up studies and really understanding long-term impact of various surgeries and drug treatments, and the animal can be in their natural environment instead of research animals. So really inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's just a really great lesson in how everybody can contribute. And if you were going to speak to a younger Emra or your colleagues, what 2 to 3 life lessons would you share for those that are trying to emulate your success?
I always advise to my PhD and master students to learn good English, because there is a problem in Turkey about the language. And the language of the science is English. So they have to know, they have to learn the English, good English. And the other one is that I always encourage them to learn the statistics. So follow the good journals for weekly or monthly, and read every free time. Don't kill so much time on social media or internet. Of course, you can find beneficial websites, but they should kill their time, actually not kill. They should spend their time on reading. And I was first, I think they should consider what they want to achieve. I mean, identify their goals and they do their best. Being in an author in JAMA was my dream when I was a PhD student. I am happy because I succeeded, and I still have dreams, and I hope I can also do them. And I can give the finally, they should never give up on their dreams as I did.
That's great to hear. Thank you so much for sharing that. So your manuscript was super popular on social media and reached over 272,000 people in about 2 weeks. Why do you think your manuscript has such a great hook for social?
Firstly, I am really happy to hear that. If I speak frankly, actually, I was expecting it. The main reason, I guess, the topic is really interesting. And the technologies are everywhere, and people are getting excited to try it on animals. I got so many emails around the world. They always asking about how can they use on animals. Some people text me that they already used it and got nice results. So they thank to me. It's really nice to. It's not really nice for me to read these emails and get positive feedbacks. I am really thankful for the JAMA for giving me to this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for submitting your manuscript to us too. We appreciate that. So here's a really important question for our listeners. If a veterinarian is about to meet a client, what is the one piece of information they should know about using smartwatches to evaluate heart rate and peripheral oxygen saturation in cats?
We know that healthy heart rate for cats are between 140 and 220 per minute. And tachycardia, known as rapid heart rate, may be related with so many conditions, maybe such as fever, pain, stress, or some infectious disease. On the other hand, peripheral oxygen saturation should be higher than 95%. So lower levels related with less oxygen intake, and immediate oxygen delivery is needed in these cases. So smart watches may help vets and owners to follow the patient health status, I guess.
Very cool. And I'm just going to give a shout out to Sarah Wright for all the social media. She's really transformed JAVMA and AJVR through all the social and helping us get this podcast started to really help super cool manuscripts like yours, Emra, reach those 272,000 people and all the feedback you're getting, which is well deserved. The word grit, you use the word like you don't ever give up on your dreams. And I think, you know, a lot of successful people can identify with that. And but again, a lot of people use the word grit, and you clearly have it. Where did it come from?
I think this is the hardest question for me. I always afraid of being an unsuccessful academician. This let me work very hard. Actually, I was not hardworking when I was undergraduate student, but after accepted as a PhD student and being in Taiwan for 2 years, at that time I met with so many teachers and lecturers. They have always planned for studying and working. They inspired me so much, I guess. When you live in this environment, your lifestyle also changes. And I think living abroad improved my perspective.
Yeah, that's really great. It is about mentorship and loving what you do, which you clearly do. We'd like to ask a little bit more of a personal question now. And if you have it present, you can show us on the camera. What's the oldest or the most interesting thing in your desk drawer?
I have one rug. It's actually it's gabapentin. I want to prepare a project about the gabapentin, and it's hard to find gabapentin in Turkey for pets. So I went to hospital and asked for doctor to write me this drug because of I have a neck pain. So I have gabapentin on my drawer.
That's awesome.
I am preparing to finish the project.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to that too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amra. We just really appreciate your time today and sharing with our listeners more about your manuscript that people find so interesting. So just thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You can read Amra's manuscript in February print JAVMA or on our journal website. I'm Dr. Sarah Wright with Dr. Lisa Fortier. We want to thank each of you for joining us on this episode of the Veterinary Vertex podcast. We love sharing cutting-edge veterinary research with you, and we want to hear from you. Be sure to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to.
Until next time, take care, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.